The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for over 30 years.
Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast exploding into your eardrums. Like something that seriously explodes, that's escaping me right now. Ben Castagnoli with you. I am joined by Tom King and Kingy the Cats. Ooh, they just used a life there, didn't they? They got nine to go, or eight to go, I should say, but they used one on Friday night.
Fine line between zero and two, isn't there, Benny, in one-on-one?
Bit of hysteria, wasn't there? Lines, for the media were just all over. The hate for the Cats was palpable.
Gee, I tell you what, they were lucky. That was, as the AFL came out and told us, it was holding the ball. There were decisions prior in the game that, as you pointed out, there was a throw against Lachie Neale that wasn't paid that would have meant the ball was never anywhere near the goal line at the time. So maybe things even out. And maybe also, too, the week, the fact that the Cats were beaten 31-15 in the free kick count and 10-1 in the last quarter against Adelaide. And what you lose on the swings, you find on the roundabouts or whatever the saying is.
Do you reckon that the umpires look at the stats for the free kicks?
Absolutely.
You reckon?
Yep. Yeah, I've no doubt.
So if a team's had a really, the old raw end of the pineapple, do you reckon the following week it's in the back of their mind?
No, I suspect it can happen, change in the flow of games as well. I suspect they'd go in at half time and somebody's telling them, oh, it's somebody will ask, what's the free kick count?
Do you reckon?
Yep.
I hope not, but you might be right. Well, the Cats, they certainly weren't worrying about that free kick count when Mark Blitzars was done, all ends up in the goal square.
It was quite interesting. We featured on Fox Footy the quad call or close shave or whatever it was, and you had the call at the time and you paid absolutely no credence to it being holding the ball.
Well, we're Cat FM, Kingy.
Other than me coming over the top and going, that's holding the ball, and you just going, Cats get it through for a behind.
Well, I was looking at the glass half full sort of operation.
Which is rare for you.
Yeah, well, it is, but I was thinking about it during the week. Do you reckon Geelong were lucky to win or desert, taking that final decision?
They were the better side.
You reckon? Yeah. I don't know.
Did Brisbane ever lead by 26 points?
No, they didn't.
Geelong led by 26 points on three
But the only reason why that, well, the only reason why they got out to that, Brisbane were very inaccurate early.
They were, but Geelong controlled the flow of the footy.
Geelong were much better in the first half. The second half, they really dropped off. Mm. I tell you what, I love talking about him too, but the 14 just sort of, well, I might say turn back the clock, but he was enormous. Yeah, he was absolutely enormous.
He was all the old on the shoulders, and yeah, I'll carry you.
And I just wonder, Kingy, be really interested how he goes on Monday, because clearly he's got a last Friday night game in him, but they were sort of the benchmark. Let's go back 4 or 5 years. Mm. He was doing that every week. Yep. Or if not every week, every other week.
He's probably a chance to do it because he's coming off a 10-day break.
Well, that will help. But it'll be really interesting to see, because it seems like as you get older, your ability to play that absolute blinder is diminished on a weekly
basis.
You're
not going to play it every week, no. Eventually.
He used to, though.
Eventually, Dustin Martin won't be able to play a blinder every week.
Yeah, well, and even he sometimes has pretty average.
That might happen in 2032, but
the skipper was huge, though, wasn't he?
He was. Yeah, he was massive. Charlie Constable was really good in the first half. We've had some interesting feedback.
He dropped off.
Yeah, he wasn't on the ground.
Was he off?
His timing on the ground, yeah. It's quite interesting. We don't pick it up in the flow because we're just focused on calling the footy.
You don't know who's off.
No, we're just worried about calling the footy. But it's been pointed out to us that his time on the ground in the second half seemed to diminish, which whether he's at a, I can't see, but surely if you're now fourth year in the system for Charlie Constable,
was it because the game was played on the other side of the ground, he missed, sometimes players can miss 4 or 5 minutes when they actually
rotation,
can't get on.
Yeah.
Was any of that involved, or
did
it just stay off Charlie?
And 75 rotations also impacts a little bit as well, but is there an issue? I'm not sure.
This week they played a bit of cheer up Charlie from Willy Wonka just to try and get him back into town. What did you make of the coach was a $10,000 suspended, which means absolutely the sanction is absolutely nothing.
Doesn't say when's it suspended too, because usually when you get a suspended fine or suspended sentence, it's hanging over your head until this date.
What did you think?
I actually liked that he's got there was some care for his players.
What were they arguing about though? Was it about his players or was it about Lachie Neale?
Well, I don't know. I don't think anybody actually knows.
Well, Chris Fagan does, but he wouldn't say.
Yeah, well, outside of that, we're only guessing. Gary Rowan was involved.
Yeah.
Is there a potential that Gary Rowan's recent history has been brought up?
Potentially.
Yeah.
But that's not the coach's position to get involved in that.
Well, absolutely not. But he's defending his players.
Yeah, but you don't.
You've been on the coach about not, you know, being distant from his players, and so obviously something's happened. Chris Scott's now coached 230 games of league footy, and has never done that before.
Oh, he has.
He's had the glance and the
He's a serial offender.
He's had the glance and the chat from the confines of the huddle.
He's good at, he gobs off a bit to the opposition.
But he's not, always done, but that. Not actually gone towards them.
No, he hasn't.
No.
He probably has, but not as pronounced as that.
So something's obviously happened to trigger that.
Yeah, I
don't have an issue with it if something is, if he feels that one of his players, if something's happened to one of his players, it's gone beyond reasonable sledging, I don't have an issue with it. And I suspect that's what's happened.
Well, the interesting thing was Cam Guthrie and Joel Selwood clearly didn't have too much of an issue with it. They spent their time trying to get the coach.
Well, they might not have been aware of.
No, maybe. I love our coach. And it's the AFL is all about image.
Yep.
So the whole concussion thing is nothing to do with the players. AFL couldn't care less about the players. It's all about the image.
Oh, no, I think they do care about the players.
It's all about the image of the game. It follows in from the NFL. It's about the image. Their image is absolutely everything. They guard it with their life. So that's why a lot of, because it flows on. They want to see the game as safe and want to be perceived as safe, and they're doing absolutely everything they can. So my thing with that is that that is a really, really, really bad look for the image of the game.
What the coach
to have is. A senior coach gobbing off to the opposition as he's coming on at quarter time and having to have two of his senior players actually say, hey, mate, pull your head in. We're over this way. That is just a really, really bad look.
Oh, it's been dealt with now. Yeah.
He should have got, it should have been 10 grand at least.
Okay. So what, so.
As a fine. He's got nothing, absolutely nothing.
Compare it to when Sheeds did the.
Yeah, well, he what did he get? 50?
Oh, I can't remember.
Was he doing the flag waving the
slip, when he did the slip the
to
throat.
To Mitchell White, I think that
it was.
Yeah,
playing for the Eagles.
He copped a pretty severe fine for that.
Mm.
From memory. I couldn't tell you what it was, but I reckon it was pretty severe.
Mm.
It wasn't in that realm.
No.
It's just not a good look to have a senior coach of an. What do you think happens if flows onto footy? What do you reckon happens at the lower grade? That's why the concussion rule is in, because it's flowing down to lower grades.
And that's what's Geelong going to do with their forward line, Benny? No Dangerfield to go forward. No Rowan. No Cameron.
Makes it more unpredictable.
Does Jenkins?
Gary Rowan was probably due for a spell in the twos anyway.
Okay, who replaces him?
Yeah, well, that's the problem, because Delhouse is going really poorly.
Well, he's not being dropped, though.
No, simply because of the old last man standing sort of style. He's still in there, and they've got a few out. He's showing signs that he had a really poor pre-season.
Well, he did.
Yeah, I do. That's what I mean.
He had a groin issue.
And he's not...
He's coming off one practice. He came off one VFL practice match.
He's not that sort of player, too. He needs to be... He's a guy that needs the full preseason. Yep. He's not going to come in fresh and perform. The thing for him is his pressure. It's not there. You don't see him pressuring the ball carry. The ball's coming out. Grian Myers was a little bit better against Brisbane. Not much, but a bit. It's unfortunate that Sam Simpson isn't right.
No.
Is he? What's?
So I believe it's not the shoulder related anymore. It actually is a leg issue. I'm going to get some more clarity. Chris Scott faces the media on Friday. The question needs to be probably drilled down a little bit harder about where Sam's actually at. But I don't believe it's shoulder related anymore.
Yeah, well, that's disappointing, because he's the sort of player that would fill that role really well.
Yep. It'd be silly now, because he's actually been pretty good in the two rounds he's been back, but you almost need Atkins to go forward again.
Well, Narkle comes in, doesn't he?
Well, you'd think so. He's been thereabouts.
Yeah.
He's
got a few runs on the board, Narkle. He's not coming in as
I'd like Quinton Narkle. I'm not sure what the...
He's a good clearance player.
Am I missing something with Quinton Narkle?
Well, clearly. Well,
nothing he's done at AFL level says to me that...
But there's just not a spot for him when they've got that full team going. That's the problem.
See, I reckon he's better than a couple that are...
So he'll probably... Do you reckon he'll leave at the end of the year?
He's out of contract.
And Constable?
Constable's definitely out of contract.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see because there's, you know, there might be a real... And then you've got players starting to retire as well. Narkle is one that will surely come in. He can play in the midfield. I don't know that he's a small forward to play permanently there.
No,
I think
he's not.
I think he's
but
more
he's creative, though.
He is, yeah. He's a really good player in clearances. Mm. He's a really good clearance player.
So is Constable. Really like. So he and Constable are two clearance
and he's,
players.
But he's got a bit of zip.
Yep.
Quentin Narkle.
Away not, from the...
Yeah, he can kick a goal out of a stoppage. So he'll... Well, you would have thought he'd come
I would suspect Max Holmes is very close to getting
he's
a game.
He's a whippet, though, isn't he?
He is.
Is he out of box one? He's been turned in from $1.80 to $1.60. He's not really ready, though, physically, is he?
Probably not physically, but he's had two cracking outings in the VFL, so he can only do what he can do.
Yeah, okay. Well, geez, it'd be big. Well, I mean, if he's been that good, then good on him. But I just having seen a couple of photos of him, I thought, geez, he needs a couple of months in the paddock, so to speak, to use your racing parlance.
Yeah.
More than two, actually.
But, you know.
Well, who else is there we can bring in? What's happening with Darcy Fort?
Yeah, Fort played well in the VFL last
week. Has he only played one game, though?
He's played two.
Right, so he's, well, Reece Stanley was okay. Mind you, old Oscar McInerney was on one leg.
Yep.
But you couldn't take Stanley out of that side and what he produced, but he'd be wanted to be playing well each week, otherwise I could give Fort a crack.
Yeah. Which is what happened last year.
Yep.
Although I think Stanley got injured early last year, and that's when Fort got his opportunity.
Well, he seems to get injured a lot, Reece. It's always all that tape he wears. It's got to slow you up, doesn't it?
The Hawks were very competitive against Richmond. Beat Essendon the week before after giving up a 7-goal advantage. Not massive down back, so the Cats can get away with only playing Hawkins up forward.
Yeah, they can. I actually watched a bit of the Hawthorn game against the Tigers. Not all of it. I didn't see the first half.
No.
I saw the third quarter. And Hawthorn actually had the better of Richmond. They just couldn't score.
Yeah, Richmond didn't get out of third gear.
No, really. Well, maybe not, but Geelong haven't been out of third gear.
No, and they're one-on-one.
They were really good, Hawthorn. They just struggled to score. That sort of forward 50 bit was lacking. But in terms of their defence was really good. Frost was playing well.
He's a good player, Sam Frost.
Yeah, he just cocks it up every now and then.
Mm.
Like, it's sort of when he's steaming out of the back half, it's look away now because something could happen that's really, that sort of grabs you by the, that grabs you, gives you a twinge in your strides. It's not the sort of twinge that you want, King. But they were really good. So, Cats are going to, and traditionally, this is the sort of game Geelong lose.
Mm.
You know, MCG, how many times has it happened against Essendon?
Yeah.
We'd go there as the red hot favourite and lose by...
I think it happened back-to-back years, didn't it?
Yes.
And last time Geelong played Hawthorn at the G, late 2019, I think the Hawks might have got the number on the Cats that day too.
Sometimes they struggle when you sort of expect them to win. They need to play well, and MCG, it'd be really interesting to see how the MCG go at the MCG with the team.
Geelong
need
to get some momentum over the next few weeks. So they go Hawthorn, Melbourne, North Melbourne, which they should start favourite in all three.
Well, Melbourne are 2-0.
I know, but Geelong would start favourite.
Not if they got beaten by Hawthorn.
Not if they got beaten by Hawthorn, but if they were to win that, Melbourne go and play the Giants in Sydney.
Yep.
Giants are a bit of a rabble at the moment.
Yeah, they are.
But the Cats would want to get some momentum up into the Eagles in that Saturday afternoon game at K Park on April 24.
Yes.
Then they go to Sydney, the Cats, and then they're back home to play Richmond and St Kilda in consecutive weeks. And if I'm a betting man, Geelong will have back-to-back Friday nights. I know the fixture's not out.
You reckon?
Well, there are three games scheduled for Marvel for round 9 off the top of my head.
Yeah.
And two of them are not Friday night games.
But right.
One is, which is Geelong St Kilda. So if you're trying to guess what the AFL are going to do with the fixture, Geelong St Kilda will be Friday night at Marvel.
Because that'll be cracker.
And it's a Friday to Sunday round. There's no Thursday night game.
That will be an absolute cracker. Can you get your popcorn ready?
Yep.
Your buttered popcorn.
You don't have yours caramelised.
I don't do popcorn at all.
Don't you?
No.
Really?
No.
Stuck in your teeth?
No. It's the dry effect just is not something that I enjoy. No, just it's like you're like a homeless man's crawl into your mouth and you can't sort of move.
Right. Okay. Interesting way to describe it. So we've had some questions, Benny. Would you like me to pose some to you?
Yes.
Cat to the future.
Oh, Cat, he loves it.
Yeah, I've done quite enough talking about the Lions match, so I'll change the subject before I have an aneurysm. Early days yet, but it appears the Dons and Giants seconds could be early if last weekend is anything to go by. our second round picks. Casting your keen eyes over our list in regards to who won't be there in the coming years, what are the main attributes you see us needing to target with these picks, e.g. pace off the mark, endurance running, foot skills, decision making, leadership, or something else?
All the above.
Yeah. Yeah, find me that player.
I just... Look, the Cats are, like you said, Kingy, the Cats were really good in the first half. The other thing, too, I think you got to remember is that Brisbane were a pretty good team. Brisbane didn't come in finishing 14th last year.
Mm.
They've come in off two prelims.
Yep.
And they've added Joe Danaher.
Prelim and a semi.
Sorry, prelim and a semi. But they've been around the mark.
Yep.
And they've added Joe Danaher as a piece that is pretty big.
Mm.
And they've also went in...
Pity you can't kick straight.
Barberry being a late omission, they were pretty much at...
Full strength. Darcy Gardner was probably the only other
but
one.
But he's handy.
He's crucial.
But he's not a game turn.
No, but he's crucial to the way they set up defensively.
Yeah, he is good. But so they've had probably two players out.
Yeah, and I think they'd prefer Archie Smith as a second ruckman to Fullerton.
Well, potentially, but you're not bringing in having Lockie Neal.
I know
Hugh McCluggage.
But if you're talking about your best players,
yeah.
Tommy
Brisbane were never going to just lie down. They're a good team.
Tommy Berry did well.
Tommy Berry?
Yeah. Yeah, got to sneak to Sydney and had a very successful Saturday, didn't he?
Oh, he did too, yeah. He did have a successful Saturday, and then he got absolutely reamed by the stewards.
Oh, did he?
He got suspended for two weeks, and I think he was fined 10 or 20 grand.
Mm.
No, it might have been more. For excessive whip use. So he just whipped the old... He was on Moonga, and if you watch the replay, Barry just completely... The whip rules went out the window, and he was just giving that a good old-fashioned Len Dittman flogging down the straight.
All right. So, given the pace of the game, having blitz as a ruck seems to be the gift that keeps on giving. To keep it giving, who do we need to tap for a key position defensive role from the twos to cover? Well, I think you just restructure down back. I don't think you'll ever permanently move Mark Blitzarves out of defence. He will go back and play a role there somehow.
Yeah, that's a concern.
You just want to back Collar, Jasny, Henry and Henderson to do the job of that three.
I don't.
Don't you?
Well, no, I want Blitzarves to be in defence permanently.
Yeah, but okay, if Blitzarves is not in defence permanently.
You have to. Yeah. You got no choice. My preference would be to have Blitzarves left in defence and Collar Jasny as your second, your lock-on defender. My only thought is there is, and Lockie Henderson's been pretty good, but he's not always the tightest covering defender, and you need to have one of those who's a bit tall, and that Collar Jasny, he's just a lot. I thought he did a really good job on Charlie Cameron.
Yep.
He got him once when the ball went out the back
yep.
and he's going to catch 99 out of 100 players in the league out for leg speed.
Yep.
There aren't too many that keep up with him. So he got him once. I thought he was actually really good. Bounced back from what seemingly was a pretty poor effort against Big Tex, although he didn't have all five of Tex's goals kicked on him. But, anyway, I don't think they're going to do that. They seem set with Lockie Henderson. But Blitzarves, I don't know. Okay, I'll put it this way. I don't know Geelong can win the premiership with Blitzarves getting pulled out of defence at the slightest sign of an issue up the ground and then put on the wing and then put in the ruck. And then they need Radaglia back. But the problem with Radaglia is that where does he play... If you've got Cameron back in,
you can't play Cameron Hawkins and Radaglia.
No, that's the problem. But they need him as the second ruckman. But you probably can't have a player who only plays, maybe 10 minutes a quarter.
Mm.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's a really interesting one. But I just don't see the Cats winning the flag with Mark Blitzarves. As soon as there's a smoke signal goes up further afield, he gets out of defence. I just don't see them. I don't see the defence being good enough with him out of it.
Charlie Constable evidently cannot run out more than half a game, but does great work while he's keeping up. Does this make him a super sub option, or do we need to be looking at someone with more pace to really take advantage of the sub fully? Oh, see, the problem with the sub is you don't know whether you're going to use it or not. It's all well and good to go in with a plan and say, well, this is our sub and this is how we're going to use it.
Well, you can manufacture that.
But Geelong didn't last week.
No, they didn't.
Zach Guthrie.
They probably will as the season rolls on.
Sat there all day.
That's why I thought it was odd having Constable as the sub, because I would have had somebody like a Narkle who's got a bit of zip.
But Constable was really good.
He was
finding the footy against Adelaide late.
He was, yeah. He's never had a problem doing that.
No.
He was good in that, particularly the first quarter.
Yeah.
I think he had about 10 possessions in the first quarter last week.
He had two or three clearances out of the middle.
Yeah.
He seems to find the footy no problems.
He's got no issue with that.
No.
It's maybe defending and his ability to transition quickly.
Mm.
He's not quick, so if a player spreads on him, he can't go with them.
Mm.
That's probably an issue. But in terms of getting the pill, he's a sort of a good old-fashioned Greg Williams sort of arrangement.
Rowan out. Cameron, we want to be careful with. No, Sav. Is this the debut Jarvis should have had the first time around rather than casting him as the sacrificial lamb? That's a potential. They wouldn't. They may look at Jarvis.
Yeah, I'd honestly, Kingy, I'd be talking off the top of my head.
Well, I suspect...
I don't know enough about it.
Okay, let me put it to you. Jarvis or Jenkins?
Oh, yeah, okay. Jarvis. Yep. And I don't know anything about him.
Other than what you saw in Richmond last year.
It's a bit like Plan A or Plan B when in Corona. When right. The guy was asked about what did he want it to do?
One more, Marco.
B.
One more from Turkey Tom also asked about
Turkey Tom.
Charlie Constable. What is the story? No endurance or coaches are keeping him on the bench. Good first half against Brisbane. Have any of the coaches been asked why time on ground percentage wise seems to be low? My only guess is he struggles to run out games, but that's a concern, as
surely
I said.
Surely not. No. Fourth year player?
Yeah.
No.
Cat to the
Fish. Do you reckon there might have been a little mix-up?
Well, I don't know.
Do you reckon they might have thought Charlie was on and he wasn't, and they'd look down and thought, hang on, he's been off for 17 minutes here.
That can happen sometimes.
Surely he's saying, hang on, what about me?
Get me on the ground.
Was my dad a glass blower?
One more. Mark O'Connor, the elite tagger. Does he go back to defence if there is no one specific to tag? I like him around the ball and welcome him staying there against the Hawks, for example. Would you tell him to run with Mitchell, run off him, or run to the back flank?
Well, we talked about this, Kingy, a little bit on Friday night. Mm. That, from my perspective, I thought it was good to see them to put some time into somebody, a midfielder like Lachie Neal. But I'd like to see, if they're going to do it with O'Connor, he's very unfamiliar with doing it, and he did a great job, although I don't think Chris Fagan thought he did a great job. I think he thought that some of the tactics crossed the line. But at least do it each week with O'Connor. Don't do it last week and then wait until we play Richmond and expect him to go to a Dusty Martin. Build his confidence. Get him, you know.
So send him to Mitchell this week?
I would.
Send him
to Mitchell. Yeah. And then if Geelong are on top, he might start getting a bit of flair in the midfield, learn the craft in the midfield. Yeah. Because that will only serve him better when he does come up again if they do ask him to go to somebody like a Martin or a Luke Shuey or a back to Lachie Neal again against Brisbane. Mm. You know, that will only serve him.
And Ollie Wines.
Well, yeah, or Boak or somebody. But I just don't – I think it would be folly to suggest that he can just do that once every 6 weeks and it's going to work. I mean, Cameron Ling did it every week.
Yep.
And he was – he had a lot more footy nous than Mark O'Connor. O'Connor's still learning the game and now he's learning another position. I reckon it'd be really smart to throw him a bone each week and build his confidence and he becomes your Levi Greenwood. And just stop someone. And he's shown that he did a great job against Lachie Neal. Put him to Mitchell. Who do they play the week after?
Melbourne.
Put him to...
Viney, maybe.
Well,
maybe
yeah.
Viney's playing.
Or Oliver.
Yep.
Do that and get him in a routine and a rhythm with doing that.
Call to Daddy. Have you ever seen a footballer kick the ball out in the full more than Jed Buse? You boys might have access to stats that we don't. We don't, but... In Jed's defence, he always seems to get the ball in the forward stand back pocket with the Cats going to the southern end and puts one out on the full towards the interchange
bench. I just think he likes doing that. Yeah. He might see his dad out of the corner of his eye, does he?
Think they haven't kicked a kick.
Yeah, I think so. It's pretty easy to do it at GMHBO, narrow agreement.
As somebody said, David the Cat, I always wait for Jed's on the full moment because after that he's usually pretty good. His improvement over the last 2 year or two has been significant, solid player these days. Yeah. I suspect when the magnets go on the board, Jed Buse's doesn't shift.
No. But we said that. Well, I did anyway. I'd blow my own horn here, King. I mean, Cat fans were jumping up and down about him after he played 40 games. Particularly one, a friend of mine who's not silly as a wheel, he couldn't have Jed Buse. I said, he makes some mistakes. He's still learning, but just give him a bit of time. It wasn't until he got to probably 70 games that he started to look.
Yeah, so in the last 2 years, he's had about 110.
Yeah. But it takes time. Not everybody is Joel Selwood, and you see, as long as you're seeing enough of his improvement.
Yep. That's the fine line.
Well, somebody like a Jordan Murdoch was different because he was still making the same mistakes in game 94 that he was in game 4. So, whereas Jed Buse, he would make some mistakes, but you could see incremental improvement. His game was improving. He was getting a bit more of the ball. He was showing a bit of dash. He was stopping his man. Sure, he'd have bad games. But now he's at 110?
Yeah, about that.
Yeah, he's a solid player, but you've got to allow blokes to get there as long as they're showing the improvement along the way that justifies it. When they're not, that's when you've got to move them on.
Howler 41, love Mark, the Sharks tagging job. Do you think the coaching staff will stick with this? Well, we haven't touched on it. Very lucky to get the points, take the win, hoping Brad Close or old Narkle gets a run this week. Brad Close probably not, I think, needs another one. The issue is VFL don't play this weekend.
What's been wrong with him?
Close? No, he had a... He was sidelined for the
Did he have some awareness?
I'm not sure. tightness. something. Top of my head, no, I'm not exactly sure.
Soreness?
Narkle I'd like to see play.
Loch Ness?
Daz Broncos. Great call on the weekend, and now into the traditional slugfest with the Hawks. First, he touches on Chris Scott. We have touched on that. As Benny's given his thoughts quite forthright at the start. Daz says, I liked it myself and showed that he'll stick up for the group and thought that with the shark bite applied to Neil showed some different sides of Chris Scott this week. And P.S., let's see if Benny can make it 12 minutes and break the record for Benny, you idiot, from Kingy.
We haven't had any of those. I do agree. Just on, that Chris Scott thing.
Sorry, just very quickly, in public.
Yeah.
I do say I'm recording a podcast with Benny the Idiot.
Well, it sounds like a wrestler. just on that Chris Scott thing, if and you'd have to ask some of the players, if the players thought that he was, genuinely sticking up for them and they were all for it,
yeah.
I can see some benefit from it. Just from an image point of view, I thought it was really poor.
Yeah. Isaac Smith. Yeah, well, look, no player is going to come out and say, oh, it wasn't ideal from the coach. But Isaac Smith was pretty, he's been a pretty honest player through his career in the media. And
so what did he say?
No, he didn't have an issue with it. He goes, look, it is what it is. So
he, but he was, could you sense that he wasn't?
I wasn't at the media conference, so I only read the quotes.
Okay.
So I can't tell you exactly what.
No player is going to come out and say that was rubbish. But you'd have to talk to someone in the group whether they thought he was, legitimately sticking up for a player and they thought, yeah, that's fantastic. Or they thought, well, I just thought it was interesting that two players went over and said, hey, and two experienced players, including the captain.
That's it, Penny. We're all done for another week.
We're going to beat the Hawks?
Yes. Not by much.
You're confident?
Yeah, I'm not confident, but
Hawks have been good.
Hawks have been
good. Their two games have been good.
Clarkson finds a way.
He does. He'll have them up against the Cats. Yeah, and they'll be up to play Isaac Smith. I know Isaac Smith was down playing as all a bit of fun, and it will be, but there'll be a bit of...
Oh, yeah, there'll be a bit of... Somebody's
Alistair Clarkson will probably use that.
Somebody will go to Isaac Smith and a little bit of a niggle. And
yeah, but that'll be a bit of fun. Yeah. But I would be surprised if Alistair Clarkson in some way uses that as a little bit of motivation to say, well, hang on, let's try and get one back on this bloke. He's left us.
Mm.
In a puff of smoke for greener pastures. Let's show them that those pastures actually aren't that green. Mm-hmm. So the Cats are going to need to play well because coming off a hard game against a team that is, probably not going to play finals, but has enough nous and has enough, and is playing good footy and has a good coach.
See you Monday at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, looking forward to it, Kingy.
Kerr's Hire, Geelong's official Wacker Noisen dealer. North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove. KerrsHire.com.au.